Bicycle.
I want to ride my
This is Tell Joy Where to Go. Today, tell me where to go to enjoy winter biking in Wisconsin. We will share winter biking tips and spots and events, including fat tire fun. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, February 5th. This is the hour each week when we celebrate life in Wisconsin and we talk about the many cultural, recreational, and educational experiences that we can enjoy in our state, and I frequently ask you to tell me where to go. The play on words is on purpose. And at the end of each hour, we usually play a Wisconsin life feature, an audio essay that's on something special about Wisconsin. Today, since we are talking about winter biking with a guest from the Wisconsin Bike Fed, and our Wisconsin Life feature is on the same subject, I thought I would play the piece first to set the stage. With winter still holding in Wisconsin, many of us dread even getting into our cars in the morning, so you might be surprised to find that one commuter relies on his bicycle to get to work all winter long, even in the harshest of conditions. WXPR's Natalie Jablonski reports from Stevens Point.
These gloves have been through 12 years of riding and crashing.
It's 7 a.m. and 20 below on a clear winter morning. To face the temperature, Rich Sweet is in his kitchen in the process of what he calls gearing up.
I have to apply my base layers, the clothes that I wear underneath my jacket to prevent hypothermia, frostbite.
Staying warm on a 6-mile bike ride is a challenge, but one to be overcome. After covering every part of his body with multiple layers, Sweet packs meals for a day at the office, microwaves his hand warmers, and smears Vaseline on his eyelids. Gearing up takes more than an hour, longer than the actual bike ride itself. So why do this?
A lot of it is just stubborn independence, quite honestly.
Sweet says he's got a punk rock streak, spending his younger days going to shows and listening to Norwegian black metal. In fact, he still listens to punk and metal on his bike ride, and though he now works regular hours at an insurance company, his life wasn't always so predictable. Sweet describes how for years he worked grueling shifts as a dishwasher, experimenting with drugs in the meantime, and eventually being cited for multiple DUIs.
I always found myself in dire straits when I was driving. I was not a good driver. I didn't always follow the rules of the road the way I should, and there was just a little voice inside me that says, maybe you should just drop out of the driving scene.
In a change both practical and symbolic, he gave up car ownership more than 2 decades ago, and soon he was hooked on how riding a bike made him feel. He even quit smoking.
Finally, I just decided I wanted to become a better cyclist, and I smoked my last cigarette.
So this is one of those mornings that kind of come across the category of being a little bit repulsive. The TV said it was minus 20 right now.
Studded bike tires rolling down the driveway, Rich Sweet says he's healthier than he's ever been. And if biking helped steady his life, it's also keeping it interesting. Sweet embraces the difficulty and occasional misery of the daily commute on his steel-framed Barracuda. That's part of the reason he won't accept car rides to work, even when it's freezing, snowing, or raining.
It's kind of one of the things that I can do myself, and I can kind of retain some of my old punk rock sensibilities, in that I don't need a vehicle to get me where I'm going, even under the most, in this case, frigid circumstances.
Have you ever not made it to work?
No, I've never not made it. I've dragged my bike through 3 feet of snow till I was able to get back on rideable blacktop, but I have never not made it.
Well, there was that time when he wiped out after his handlebar snapped in two and he had to get picked up. But that exception seems to prove the rule.
You have to complete the ride. You could call and have someone pick you up, but ultimately that's not going to be a long-term answer. The answer is to just keep pedaling.
So pedal he does day in and day out. In just a few minutes longer than it takes to drive across town, Sweet arrives on his Barracuda and heads into work, beard and scarf fringed with ice in the morning light.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. This is a winter biking edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. We will talk about where to fat tire bike or where to just enjoy biking in our communities in the wintertime. And we welcome your questions for our guest and your own experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you like to bike year-round? Will you be biking today? What is so special or good about winter biking as far as you're concerned? Would you even consider winter biking? You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Dave Schabowski is the Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, will you be biking to work this morning?
I will later after we get off our call.
Yeah, and will you be doing what our friend in Stevens Point was doing, putting Vaseline on your eyelids and the whole thing?
My life sounds a little more pedestrian than that. I'm afraid to admit. I don't really, other than wearing regular winter clothes, that I don't really change clothes in the office. I just wear sort of thicker pants and a jacket and. And a hat and stuff, and I just ride my bike and take it off, and I've got my regular clothes on, no vest, anything like that. Of course, it's now minus 20 today.
Right. But, and there's not 3 feet of snow, at least not where I am.
Nope, there's not.
Yeah. For many cyclists, the biking season really is, summertime, give or take a few months. Make the case that we should consider getting out on our bicycles during the winter.
Well, it's certainly gotten to be a much more of an option than it used to be, say 10 or 15 years ago. And more people are doing it. And I wouldn't try to convince everybody to ride a bike if in the winter if they're not all that interested in riding a bike in the first place. But if you are the sort of person that tries to make the season last as long as possible because cycling is just something that you enjoy, there's certainly many more ways to make it last all the way through the year than there used to be. Fat bikes are one of them. The prevalence of and more easier access to studded tires is one of them. There's a lot of more technical clothing now that looks pretty normal, but works really well to keep you warm. So there are a lot more options in terms of apparel and cycling gear that make it much easier to ride in the winter than there used to be when, say, I first started.
Yeah, so if we are interested in extending the bicycle season, if we want to try to commute to work, for example, on our bikes in the wintertime, do we need to have special studs or fat bikes?
No, you certainly don't. If you look at... I live in Milwaukee, and there's lots of professional bicycle couriers that work all year round and have been working all year round, for 30 years or so, delivering packages all through the winter. And the vast majority of them are on, skinny-tired road bikes, and they just, with a bag over their shoulder and a jacket and helmet and maybe some ski goggles is about as complicated as they get, or specialized equipment as they get. And the reason why, at least here in an urban area, is our streets are really plowed fairly well. So it's not that difficult to get around, and they're salted pretty heavily and stuff. So you can get around maybe with just a little bit of knob your tire on your regular bike if you want. Personally, though, I'm older. I don't feel as well if I fall on some unseen ice or something like that. So I think studded tires are kind of a pretty inexpensive insurance policy. They're expensive compared to regular tires, but compared to a fall and maybe separating your shoulder or hurting your, spraining your wrist or something, they're pretty inexpensive. So I have studded tires on a couple of bikes for my commute.
We have just a minute before we take a break for news. Were you speaking from experience there about the painful shoulder or wrist? Did you?
Yes, I like to ride part of my commute on some trails, and the trails are not really salted as well as the regular roads. So sometimes there's a dusting of snow over some ice that you can't see, and it doesn't take much to suddenly find yourself on the ground.
We are talking with Dave Schabowski, Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed, and we are talking about winter biking in Wisconsin. We're welcoming your questions and your own experiences winter biking. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Where do you go to enjoy biking in the winter? What questions do you have for our guest? How about winter biking events? We'll talk about some fat bike events that are also going on around the state. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin, Richmond, New Richmond, Ridgewood, Woodruff, Woodford, Pleasantville, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Star Prairie, British Sea, British.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle.
This is a winter biking edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. We are talking with a biking enthusiast about winter biking opportunities in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions and your own experiences. Do you like to bike year-round? Will you be biking today? Would you consider biking in the winter? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dave Schlabowski. He is the Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Sarah on Facebook says, have you seen people biking in Madison during a blizzard? It's amazing. However, I only experienced this in Madison. Is the rest of the state bike crazy too? What about that, Dave?
I think it's really spread riding in wintertime. When I first started commuting year-round, say 17 years ago or so, if I saw somebody I didn't know riding their bike to work, I'd email the five other people I knew who did it and said, hey, I saw somebody new, you know. And now there's, you know, so many people riding on a daily basis that obviously I can't know all of them. There's, you know, it's certainly gotten more popular. But, you know, among people who like to ride bikes, the vast majority of riding is not done for transportation. Most of it's done for recreation and just because it's fun. And while I enjoy bicycling any way I can, so that's one of the reasons why I ride my bike to work and meetings and things like that, I'm kind of single-minded. But for most people who it's a form of recreation or getting exercise, that's when what the sort of the new fat bike phenomenon has opened up an opportunity for them, because now there's a way to enjoy riding a bike just for fun all winter long.
Yeah, talk about the fat bike. It's a relatively new addition to the cycling world, but I saw a piece that says their popularity is increasing, especially in the winter and in Wisconsin.
Yeah, the Midwest is kind of a hotbed for it for a number of reasons. You know, they were invented by Alaskans, and the technology has just sort of improved and grown into the major manufacturers are now producing fat bikes. So it's certainly more accessible. I mean, you can go to any local bike shop and you're going to find half a dozen of them on the floor for you to purchase if you want, or even go to big box stores and they have them at, you know, Targets and things like that. So it's certainly gotten to be a more mainstream thing to do. So what I like so much about it is, like, as I said, you certainly don't need one. They're definitely a recreational thing. I use one for commuting too sometimes, but it's mostly for recreation. And I used to ski a lot. I used to cross country ski a lot, and I got kind of way into skate skiing, but it was so frustrating with our winters around here having consistent snow, at least in the southeastern part of the state, that you know, you're always checking the Skinny Ski report online to find out where there is decent snow. and skiing around, like if I wanted to ski around here right now, I mean, I can't go to Brown Deer Golf Course or Whitnall Park or anything like that and ski that. There's just the only option would be to go to Lapham Peak, where there's a small loop where they make their own snow.
Uh-huh.
So that got to be kind of frustrating for me, getting outdoor exercise like that, and enter the fat bike. And suddenly I can ride my neighborhood mountain bike trails. I don't have to get in my car. I just go roll right out of my garage and head over my trail all winter long, and I can ride them all winter. Whereas before, I couldn't do that on my regular mountain bike. So that's what's been so much fun. In terms of winter cycling, the fat bikes really opened up a lot more recreational opportunities.
Yes. So for those of us who aren't all that familiar with fat bikes, can you describe what one looks like? Is it just a regular bike with big fat tires?
No, to fit the fat tires, they have to make the frames a little bit differently. So they're pretty specialized now in terms of, you know, how they're constructed, and there's different sizes of tires. There's 4-inch tires and 5-inch tires, and then there's a new group called, you know, plus version. So they're like a regular mountain bike, just maybe a little bit fatter, so up to 3-inch tires. So, but generally, if somebody's talking about a fat bike, it looks like a regular mountain bike with tires that are 4 inches or up to 5 inches wide. And recently, the other thing that's created a lot more opportunities for people to ride and recreationally is grooming. So in the same way people groom for cross-country ski trails, people are now grooming for fat bike trails. Just the groomers look very similar to a cross-country ski groomer, but they're narrower. So it's more like a single track trail. And in fact, there's even a new website now called groomedsingletrack.com with a map that shows all the different locations, the trailhead locations, where people can ride groomed fat bike trails.
Oh my gosh, it sounds like that would be really fun. I mean, you're in that track then, and you're not going to wipe out all that much, are you?
Yeah, well, you don't really fall that much riding fat bikes anyway, and it's not a real high speed thing. You're going a little slower than you go on a regular mountain bike and stuff, but it is a lot of fun, and it's a great way to get out on the local trails or to visit other parts of the state and ride trails that you haven't been to.
And are these trails, Dave? Are these trails where we might find bike trails in parks and other areas? But now in the wintertime, they're being groomed for the fat bikes.
Yes, exactly. Most often they're where regular mountain bike trails are already, and they're being groomed by the local mountain bike clubs who had a fundraiser, bought themselves a small snowmobile and a groomer, and they pull the groomer around behind that. Some are groomed manually, not many anymore, where people walk with snowshoes and pull a groomer or something like that behind them. But they are mostly on places that already have mountain bike trails, but some are not. Some are just some local mountain bike club just says, hey, the golf course is covered with snow all winter long. Why don't we do something new with it? And they groom fat bike trails just in a regular park or golf course or something like that.
And what was the name of that website again? We're looking for that so we can put it on our...
It's called groomedsingletrack.com.
All right, groomedsingletrack.com.
Yeah, and there's a page on it that the map page is called Ride. And if when you open that map page, it's not surprising to me that the vast majority of the little red pin flags are in Wisconsin and Minnesota. The Midwest is really a hotbed for fat bikes. It's a national phenomenon, obviously, but Midwest they're very popular for a number of reasons. One, we have pretty good snow all winter long, so you get to use them all winter long. And the other reason, though, is we have lots of beach. And they're very fun to ride on the beach in the summertime. So with all the Great Lakes surrounding our state, we have real long shorelines that people do beach rides during the warmer weather.
Oh, what fun. I was going to ask, are these fat bikes meant for off-roading and trail riding or just wherever we want to go?
Yeah, I have friends that commute on them. But certainly, yeah, there, you know, the beach riding is a big part of it. Honestly, I now, it's my only mountain bike that I ride for the most part. I've pretty much retired my old, 20-year-old, 26-inch mountain bike, and I bought a new kind of modern fat bike and carbon fiber. It's real lightweight, and that's my primary trail bike that I ride in the summertime as well.
So how easy or difficult are fat bikes to ride?
Well, if you've never ridden one, the first thing you're going to notice when you start pedaling is, like, it's a lot more work. Mm-hmm. So, as I said, they now make, you know, pretty fancy bikes. So I've got a pretty fancy carbon fiber fat bike with pretty lightweight wheel set on it, and it only weighs about 26 pounds, which isn't that much more than a regular mountain bike might weigh. So that's certainly that style of upper end bike is a little bit easier to pedal, but there's no getting around physics, and a big fat 5-inch, 4-inch tire just takes a lot more energy to spin than a little skinny road tire or a 26-inch or 29-inch mountain bike tire.
So are rentals available for the most part through bike shops?
Oh yeah. There's rentals available at a lot of shops. You mentioned that there's a lot of events now. There's just every weekend there's a couple of fat bike races and around the state somewhere, and most of them have rental bikes available for people to try right at the race. And when I say race, with fat bikes, it's a little different than regular mountain bike races. For instance, there's a race series that Wieland Sprocket puts on called the Hugh Jass Fat Bike Race in Hugh Jass Fat Bike Race Series around southeastern Wisconsin.
I'm glad you enunciated that slowly.
Right, and the title gives you a tip that it's not taken all that seriously. Now, the guys in the front are pretty darn fast, and there are some guys at the last one that I did that have raced in Europe and stuff, and they lapped me the second lap around. I was getting passed by somebody. But for the vast majority of people, it's just a fun way to get out and get some exercise with a bunch of other people. And one of the things that you had to do every lap, and this was hammer and nail, hammer schlagen, into a stump. So, I mean, it just shows you that they usually end with a party with, you know, a cookout and some beer outside. And so it's just sort of a fun thing to do. It's not quite as serious as racing sounds.
We are talking about winter biking and fat bike biking. And we're wondering if you have any questions about winter biking or fat tire biking. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Do you get out and ride your bike in the winter? What do you like about it? Do you do this for work or do you do it for fun and recreation? Right now we are focusing more on some of the growing popularity of fat bikes in Wisconsin in different trails and events. Have you tried this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dave Schlabowski. He is Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed and a biking enthusiast, a winter biking enthusiast, including these relatively new or newer fat bikes. And I did go to a bike shop once. I think it was Camrock here in the Cambridge area, and we were told that we could rent the bikes and bike during the summertime too. So these are not exclusively for trail riding in the wintertime, Dave.
That's correct. Yeah, as I said, I have the first fat bike that I owned. There's a number of Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin's sort of a national epicenter of the bicycle industry, and everybody thinks of Trek, and of course Trek has their Trek Farley fat bikes, and they're great bikes, and Trek is a international, you know, manufacturer. But because this is kind of a newer thing, there are of course a lot of smaller manufacturers as well, and Wisconsin has a number of them. So my first fat bike is a Schlick Northpaw It's a steel fat bike. I have that one set up as a commuter with fenders and studded tires and a generator for my light and a belt drive even, so I don't have to worry about a chain getting wet and salted in the winter time. So I have a Schlick, and that's a local Milwaukee area company. And then I also have my carbon fiber sort of more racy fat bike, which is a Fixation Blackhawk, and that's a super lightweight, really neat bike that I use all summer long then to ride my local trails along the Menominee River as well.
And I see that downhill fat biking is also a thing. Where can we do that?
There are now even dual suspension fat bikes. Again, this is all want stuff, not need stuff, right? So just like downhill skiing or anything, these are just fun activities, and you can do them at I don't know if any ski hills in Wisconsin have been opened up to fat biking in the wintertime, but it is becoming popular out west. I think I saw that a number of ski hills out in Colorado and in the western states have opened up permanent fat bike runs all winter long.
Are there any special etiquette or rules for riding fat bikes?
I mentioned beach riding. So there are places that you're not allowed to ride on the beach. And the best thing to do is to check with the local land manager at whatever, if you're riding at a state park or something like that. The general rule of thumb is the same as it is with fishing or hunting. If you stay below the water, you sort of keep your feet wet. You're good to go. So if you ride on that wet sand where the water's washing back and forth, you're legal to ride. But with beach riding, it's always best to check with whoever manages the park and ask them about it. Other than that, you can't ride on snowmobile trails. In general, snowmobile trails are mostly privately negotiated by snowmobilers with private landowners, and so while they spend a lot of time negotiating those easements and agreements and grooming their own trails, you're not allowed to ride on those trails because the snowmobile clubs have private negotiations for that. So that's the other thing. Really, that's about it. Other than that, you're free to ride your bike wherever, the regular trails are. So,
now, fat bike or regular bike, what precautions or safety measures should bikers take, especially during cold and snowy months?
Well, like I said, when I'm dressing, it's gotten pretty easy now with modern technology. I have a couple of things that I like that I found work well for me, but different people have different things. So I don't really dress all that differently in the wintertime to stay warm and safe. I wear some sort of fleecy lined soft shell pants and, a jacket and a merino wool turtleneck or something like that and a dress shirt or something. And I just go out and ride, whether I'm going to work or out for fun. I use studded tires just because I think they're safer. For me, I don't like falling, and I haven't fallen since I've started putting studded tires on my bike about 10 years ago. So I think although they're expensive compared to regular tires, they're a good insurance policy. Does get dark sooner in the wintertime. So, good lights are a good idea, obviously. And luckily, the technology for LEDs has gotten so good that it's pretty easy to get really inexpensive bright lights.
Let's check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking more about winter biking for recreation and for commuting to work, but maybe a special focus on the recreational aspect. And you know what? After we get back from news, I'll also ask my guest about this proposal to make biking Wisconsin's official state exercise. Do you think that's actually a thing in the state legislature? Should biking be named Wisconsin's official state exercise. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales Corners, Slades Corners, Abel's Corners, Newburgh Corners, Piper'sville, Pittsville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Fortville, Blatchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy air.
This is a winter biking edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. We are talking about where to go in Wisconsin to enjoy biking on our fat tire bikes or any bikes for recreation or for commuting to work. We're also asking you what you think about a proposal in the state legislature to name biking as the state's official exercise. Should biking be named Wisconsin's official exercise? What do you think about that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking about winter biking with Dave Schlabowski, the deputy director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed. And Dave, I know that your colleague at the Bike Fed, Dave Cheslevich, recently wrote a blog post called Let's Make Biking the Official State Exercise, and the idea is gaining some traction, so to speak. What do you think of that idea?
Well, we're really proud of this. This wasn't our idea, actually. This was the idea of a group of elementary school students at Cooper Elementary. And we do teach elementary school students bike safety. And one of the classes that we work with just had the idea that why don't we make this our state exercise? And so, you know, while we teach bike safety as part of our program, our Safe Routes to School program, and pedestrian safety as well, we integrate a lot of other, you know, regular things into the curriculum that we teach. So the kids learn how to use maps. They learn about laws and stuff like that. So this is just one of the sort of like extras that come out of that program. And we're pretty proud of the kids for coming up with the idea, contacting a senator, getting a bill written, going to Madison in a bus yesterday, testifying at a hearing. It's pretty neat to see kids taking part in our democratic system like that. And they're very excited about it.
That's really great, and apparently it has bipartisan sponsorship. Do you think we're going to have what would it mean if we named biking the state's
well,
official exercise?
You know, it's really just kind of a feel good thing to do, and it really doesn't have anything you know, a huge impact on our state. I think it's cool that the kids did it, and that the legislature is giving it some real listening to and consideration. Obviously, we have state rocks, state soil, you know, state birds, all kinds of things like that. This bill, one thing that's kind of important about it, I guess, is that it really recognizes Wisconsin's central place in the cycling industry. You know, we are the epicenter of cycling industry in the United States, and it's not just Trek. We have, you know, Schwinn and GT and Mongoose and Hayes Brakes and Fixation and Schlick and a whole host, Waterford Precision Cycles, and a whole host of other companies here that, you know, add $2 billion to our economy every year and amount to about, you know, 14,000 jobs. So, you know, I mean, hey, it's not quite as big an impact as our dairy industry, but it's a pretty important segment of our economy. So I guess it makes sense in some ways. There's lots of great other sports, don't get me wrong, but perhaps it makes sense in terms of that we are a national leader in cycling industry.
You know, Candace on Facebook says, if bicycling was named the state's official exercise, then bicycle rules should be taught in all schools. Now, you were mentioning that you do teach bike safety in schools.
Hey, that would be great. We couldn't agree more. Unfortunately, we don't even teach, you know, driving anymore, and you know, we don't have universal driver's education anymore, but we're doing what we can with our resources. We teach, you know, 2,000-3,000 kids a year, and maybe double that in number of adults in our classes around the state. So we're doing as much as we can with the resources that we have, but you know, we'd love to see universal bicycle education and pedestrian education as well. That's part of what we teach in our classes too, in the schools.
Well, and Gary on Facebook, similar comment, maybe. Let's not make biking the official state exercise until these people on bicycles learn to avoid becoming a road hazard to others. What's your response to that?
Well, I'm not really sure how people on bicycles are a road hazard any more than any other vehicle or person walking out is a hazard. Obviously, you don't want to hit anybody, whether they're on a bike or in a car or walking. So I'm not really sure exactly what that means. But again, you know, we're doing all we can to teach people how to ride bicycles legally and safely, both adults and children. I'd love to see the return of universal driver education. My daughter, we paid for private driver education for her, and in that class, she never had any instruction about the rules of the road for what to do around people riding bikes, what bicycles are required to do, or what pedestrians are required to do. So even if you pay for private driver's education, they're not teaching anything about the rules for bicycling and walking.
Yeah, and I do bike. I am somebody who mostly bikes in the summertime or, you know, during the warm weather months, and I do a lot more trail biking or the rails to trails than commuting and such. I'm not so sure I'd be able to bike so much in the winter, but I'll have to admit that I have been frightened for a bicyclist or two that has been biking when it's, you know, kind of icy and slushy and I'm just worried, wow, what if you slip and fall? I mean, do you think overall it's safe to do?
Well, certainly. I mean, you know, I've slipped and fallen, you know, you sprain a wrist or something like that. You're not going that fast. It's not that big of a deal. It's certainly, there are far more people. I can't tell you how many people I've stopped, got off my bike, and helped push their car out of a ditch
right.
when they've been stuck in a snowstorm. If the road is suddenly impassable for me, or there's a big pile of snowdrift by a plow in front of it, I just get off my bike and lift it over and get back on the other side and keep going. People in cars can't do that. They try to drive through it, they slip, they end up in a ditch, and I get off my bike and help push them out. It happens all the time. So it's really not that difficult to do. It's really certainly a safe thing to do.
Well, we have a 5 more minutes with our guest, Dave Schlabowski, the Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed. He is talking with us about winter biking for commuting or for recreation. We're talking a lot about the new fat bikes, a relatively new addition to our cycling world, and we're wondering if you enjoy biking in the winter especially. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We're taking your comments on whether you think it would be a good idea or not to make biking the official state exercise. We are looking for your questions for our guest, and we are looking for any specific places that you would recommend that we go to do some winter biking. And we do have some people who are suggesting on Facebook some places to go. Rebecca on Facebook says, Spirit Mountain in Duluth, Minnesota, next to Superior, has fat bike trails in the winter. They are brand new. And we did have another caller who didn't want to go on the air who said Mount Ashwaubee Ski and Recreation Area in Bayfield has just, opened a new fat bike trail.
You're right. I've ridden both of those trails. I've ridden at Spirit Mountain in Dubuque, and not in the wintertime, but I saw that they did have fat biking open just this year. And Mount Ashwaubee as well is grooming. That's up in Bayfield. The Camba area up around Hayward and Spooner, they groom lots of trails. As I said, on that groomsingletrack.com, you can find most of these most of these trails in the Milwaukee, Waukesha area. Minooka Park is grooming trails. They're grooming trails up in Manitowoc. It's happening all over the place.
It does sound like fun. And I know you mentioned that with a fat bike race that's coming up, that a lot of these events will offer rentals of fat bikes. Can you,
mm-hmm.
I mean, do shops like near a trail like these trails we're talking about rent?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of my friends works at Wheel and Sprocket, and they have their own brand called Badger Bikes. The Badger Fatty Wampus is their bike. And I asked him, he lives in my neighbor, and I asked him to go riding with me on our local trails and along the Menominee River Parkway in Wauwatosa. And he said, I can't. I don't have a fat bike anymore. I was like, well, what happened to your Badger? He's like, we sold out of all the larges at all of our stores, so I had to sell mine.
Oh, wow.
So he gave his bike back to the store because they had sold out of the large sizes. So that shows you that they're getting fairly popular.
Let's go to Colin in La Crosse, who apparently loves to fat bike. Hi, Colin.
Hi there. Yeah, this is a great conversation. Biking in the winter has been one of my favorite things to do, even before I got a fat bike, and it's awesome. It's quiet, perfect. And I wanted to tell you there's a place in Prairie du Chien that's good for riding, too, I believe. It would be at the La Riviere Horse Park. You could go through the trails in the woods, and you could easily spend a day there. It's wonderful.
Yeah. What do you love so much about it, Colin?
It's quiet, and there's usually not a lot of other people on the road. And if now with my fat bike, I can go other places that I normally wouldn't be able to go. So it's cool to just know, like, hey, if I want to turn left, I can turn left and go explore something new.
Wonderful. Well, it sure sounds like something I want to try. Dave, want to give us a last-minute pep talk as to why this might be something?
Yeah, I mean, that's really part of it. You know, I mean, it's getting out in nature, and no matter where you live, and that sounds like a great place to ride in the Prairie du Chien area. That's a gorgeous part of our state. I haven't ridden there in the wintertime at all, but I'm certainly going to put that on my list. I ride right outside my door in Wauwatosa along the Menominee River Parkway. I live in Milwaukee, and you know, I mean, I see mink on the trail, I see deer, I see coyote, I see, you know, all kinds of nature, and that's really what it's all about. It's sort of the same as cross-country skiing or hiking, or it's just about getting out and enjoying nature, the beautiful state of Wisconsin that we have here.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Dave Schulbowski is the Deputy Director of the Wisconsin Bike Fed. Thanks to Chris Molina for producing this program. Thanks to Christy Taylor for on-air direction. And thanks to Nyasia Ellison for on-air production. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. We are going to talk about vote buying and voter suppression in our next hour. Monday at this time, we're going to talk about the Zika virus. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Superman. All I wanna do is love.